This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster in My Podcast.
And this is The Phoenix.
There's a monster in my podcast.
Gary, I have a lot of fondness for the Phoenix.
I
like the Phoenix as a mythological beast.
Tell me about that.
It's a big,
I'm gonna psychoanalyze you.
It's a big fiery bird that
even when it
dies.
What led you to believe that?
Okay. I mean, it's a very pervasive myth.
Have you always thought that? That's the only way to do this psychoanalysis.
At least. Wow. I've really been overpaying my therapist.
Yeah.
I could just
get like a talk boy with the battery, the play button taped down.
I was about to make some kind of joke about a magic eight ball, but it would have to be a reverse magic eight ball that is just the questions. And then I realized that is just oblique strategies.
Yeah, magic cue ball.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm into that.
Yeah.
So big fiery bird. Big fucking whoop.
I think they're cool. Like of the real world mythological things. This is kind of neat, you know?
Yeah, he's okay. it's a little one note.
Oh, for sure. I mean, especially here mechanically, you know.
Yeah. It's definitely one note here and definitely one note thematically. Like it feels somehow a little on the nose to have a creature who symbolizes resurrection and have its one thing be resurrection.
Mm.
You know, like it just comes back.
Yeah.
You know, and there's always,
but that's
things
why,
like,
it symbolizes resurrection.
Well, other things like rabbits symbolize fertility. Mm-hmm. And just because they
fuck all the time.
That's like one degree removed, though, because they can symbolize resurrection is very specific. It feels like,
and
fertility could be like a bounty.
Yeah.
Like you could have like a bread shop that has a rabbit on it, and you're like, this bread can fuck. And then, but if somebody comes back from the dead, though, you're like, oh, they're a real phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, well, they're a zombie if they come back from the dead.
That's true.
Gary, I'm not going to move on this. I've held this opinion for probably 23 years.
I'm not trying to move. I'm just going to move on. I think they're all right.
Yeah.
As far as mythological birds, yeah. What is it competing with? A rock? Who gives a shit?
The thunderbird.
Yeah, thunderbird.
Yeah.
That doesn't even resurrect. It's even one step less. It's just a bird with thunder.
You're setting up all kinds of weird metrics that I like that these birds need to live up to. It's like this shifting goalpost that I can't.
Fucking bird law, man. Like it's a bird. It has to be. I mean, it's the same. I don't see any reason to treat birds with a lesser standard of quality than any other monster in the monster manual.
I don't know.
If this were a horse that was just on fire and was reborn,
it would still be pretty cool. I think it would still be pretty cool.
Cooler than a regular horse.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
They're cool. I'll give you, they're cool. They're cool. They're cool. Okay. I'll give it to you. They're cool, buddy. They're cool.
Okay, geez. So we can stop this.
So, yeah.
Also, it's always one of the more useful summons in a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to work for it.
Oh, of course. Yeah. But this entry is mostly, it is some of the mechanics of this. He's got just a tremendous amount of spell like abilities. Like this is like a campaign ending enemy. If it is an enemy, like this, like it's a god is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of got a little of that Quattle thing, like where it's just like this really, really super wise, intelligent, good bird thing that can come and fix players.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not a campaign ending thing, because it's a good guy.
That's what I mean. That's why I corrected myself. Like this is it is supposed to be a god, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to the point where like you can call one if you're a priest, which this is something that I love. You know, that gives all of the details about this, saying like, hey, it depends on how far away they are when you call them. It's not like they teleport or whatever. What I love the most is it says when the spell has expired, the phoenix does not disappear. But it is then free to do what it will.
Yep.
And I'm imagining a phoenix that very much outstays its welcome. Just like the phoenix comes and then, you know, kills.
It wants to do it.
Like kills the lich and like, okay, well, where are you guys going next? I'm down for anything.
Doing? Yeah.
Just, let's keep the party going, man.
It's like a dealer. What are you doing? You guys want to go see a movie? Like, no. I'll set it on fire. You're real big. You know, and then the Phoenix like gets in a trench coat and tries to sneak into the movie, and everyone gets kicked out, and the Phoenix thinks it's okay because they can go to a bar, but like
kind of casts a pall over the entire thing. Like I don't know, I don't feel great after getting kicked out of an establishment.
Barry's here, yeah,
yeah,
Yeah, I like that bit. I like their life cycle. Like, they're functionally immortal. Like, that's just the same phoenix that's been hanging around.
Yeah, forever. Yeah. It's like one of those jellyfish, right?
Yeah. Or those air plants, like ancient air plants. Plants. I wish there was a little bit more done with. So, like, the wrinkle, the attempted wrinkle in the phoenix as presented in the Monstrous Manual is the idea that it's supposed to not just be about rebirth. It's supposed to be about how, like, rebirth through destruction.
Right.
But there's not, like, it's destruction of the phoenix, but that doesn't seem like a good cost.
Yeah, it's destruction by the gigantic firestorm that it summons around itself.
Well, it can do that. Like, yeah. it does it to, like, evil armies and shit. I just wish there was more, like, collateral damage.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like,
well, that particular part is couched in, like, the whole habitat and society part of this is trying to explain, like, what societies of different alignments think about this one particular thing. So for good folks, it's all about, you know, rebirth, whereas, you know, if you're evil, it represents this you know, destruction, right?
And I think the fact that the manual codifies an alignment and says that it just helps good people, it kind of, like, gives, like, makes me think that's less good.
Yeah,
you know, just because it answers the question. It is cool that if it did things that were open to interpretation.
Yeah,
but this kind of, like, says, like, no, it's not open to interpretation. It's just another, like, lawful good genius bird.
Yeah,
you know, like, this book is crawling with these things.
Lousy with them.
Yeah, it's really weird. I never thought I would be as sick, like, not as sick as, like, humanoid things. We got something in this recording section that's a real bummer. But, like, the you know, just, like, we have a lot of, like, lawful good genius birds that just help good adventurers.
Right.
This is a little bit more flavorful,
yeah,
for sure. So I like it because of that. But
yeah, I would definitely prefer a version of the phoenix that is beyond moral or mortal, yes, concerns.
Because what about the phoenix force? Like,
Kind of, yeah. But I mean, just the fact that it is forever means that, like, it's looking at things on a much grander scale. I want the phoenix as a Lovecraftian beast.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it was, like, generally good, like a Lovecraft, like the greater good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the greater good is not interesting. The greater good is interesting, you know, and that would have been a good rule to kind of follow with these things. I wonder if these things got an entry in the updated, like, the Volo's Guide. Because there's enough here to where I think you could do a cool take on them.
Oh, you could, yeah.
Yeah, you know, because especially since they're functionally immortal, what do humans' lives mean at all? You know, like, you could be a good DM and make this work.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to be like, no, they don't, like, there's an orc army and he summons a phoenix. And, like, what does the phoenix care? Like, that orc army is going to kill a bunch of humans, which are going to cause, like, fertilize the soil. And in 100 years, like, this will be a verdant forest. You know, like, who cares about this village?
Right.
You know, that's the way to do them.
Yeah. Find these greater scope justifications.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Hey, Gary, I know we're trying to keep these episodes short, but can I do a little bit of follow-up?
Oh, yeah.
Remember during the Periton we talked about that Borges book?
I do.
Yeah, I bought that book. It's pretty good.
Oh, is it
it's
good?
Like, yeah, it's not as, like, fantastical as you would imagine it would be, based on the fact that it's Borges and magical realism and stuff. It's more of just, like, a standard bestiary that's, like, very well-sourced about what... about, like, what these different historians or not historians, but, like, philosophers and people from ancient times, you know, thought of these things in particular places, mixed in with, like, some fictionalized small little bits of prose. Like, it is entirely meant to be, like, read, like, random access style. I bought it. It's like $10 on Amazon. So The Book of Imaginary Beings. Very good.
Take a look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Phoenix is in here. That's why I'm bringing it up now.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Does it have any additional spin?
Yeah, it tells a couple of different versions. Like, it talks about, like, how it came out of Egypt is the thing, and just, like, actually, like, gives different locations of where the different, like, sun temples would have flown from, how it hatches from an egg that is kind of encased in myrrh, and then when it's about to die, It packs itself in myrrh again, and it flies from the easternmost point of the world to the westernmost point of the world. So it's almost like a sun god kind of thing.
Myrrh. Huh.
Yeah.
Haven't had myrrh in, why, since 10 years ago this very night. Myrrh. Honey, do we have myrrh? This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster in My Podcast.
And this is The Piercer.
There's a monster in my podcast.
everybody's, let's say, fourth favorite Demon Souls fight.
Yeah. Bjor gets pierced. Y'all get pierced. Penetrate is definitely sexual. Pierce is like, if let's say, you know, you're having a good date and you get down to Makeout Town, and then you jump in the fuck jalopy and take it down to Sex Creek, you know, and then you get out and you look at a rimming sunset and everything. And it's like, it really seems like sex is going to happen, to push this metaphor. And she's like, pierce me. Like, that's fucked up, right? Like, that's like something Shakespearean people do for double language. Like, that's just like, if the implication is you're going to stab me with a sword, but also I kind of want you to fuck me, you say pierce.
Yeah. Well, she's basically asking, hey, fuck me like a snail would.
Yeah, I want to fuck you like a snail would.
These are good boys. I like these guys. Speaking of snails.
I just think the eye, though, like the drawing is what does it. It's very funny. Like,
yeah. It was so evil. Waiting. Yeah. Waiting. And everybody drop. These are the like Stalacite mimics.
Yes. They only get one shot.
Yeah.
Because if they miss, so the rocky part is the shell, inside they're just a snail, and when they fall down, then they have to slowly crawl up the wall.
Yeah. And
they attack with at like 20 or like 19 or 20 Thaco. Like, they suck. You're like, they're very likely to miss you if you have any kind of armor on.
Yeah. I think the major danger of them is that they gather in colonies, and so if a whole bunch of them drop, then you're kind of in trouble, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty much like dungeon flash mob.
Yeah,
you know, like let's all coordinate, and then like, oh. But then again, just like a bunch of those people are gonna miss, and those ones don't get, you know, like, you have the one shot. They're like sperms, sky sperms. Like, you just get that one, you know. Yeah, that's, it makes them kind of tragic. I think.
Yeah, those eyes.
Yeah,
Adol's eyes.
Yeah, it's very. If I were an evil wizard, like, I could see having a chamber of these things just for like. Funzos, you know.
Oh yeah.
And just like every once in a while you throw a sheep in there. Live chicken. Get fucked, Clucky, and then just
I was thinking more of like greasing up the bottom of like a large pan or pot and then just like pushing it into the room, and whichever one lands inside the pot, that is the one that you reward handsomely with some food.
Yeah. Or it becomes like, you reward it, since it's already an oiled up pot, you reward it handsomely with turning into escargot.
Mm.
Yeah, and then like Dungeon Hillary Clinton tells you to escargot to the polls and vote Piercer. Clinton Piercer 2020.
So my favorite thing about this, aside from that eye, that one eye, it's a very good eye, is this is probably one of the most mundane alternate uses for body parts that we've seen off of a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, these things have multiple stomachs, and they don't have to constantly feed, because one of their stomachs preserves their food. So there is a market for going out, killing one of these things, taking its storage stomach, and using that to derive food preservatives.
Like a lunch pail.
Yeah.
Like, and then you draw another picture of a piercer on the side of its stomach and give it to your son.
Yeah.
And you get a little piercer,
you draw a piercer on it, like a bunch of piercers, and then you put like different colored headbands on it. Yeah. The Teenage Mutant Ninja piercers.
Yeah. It's like all the kids' favorite mollusks.
Is that any weirder than the turtles, though?
It seems weirder to me, but I don't think it is.
Yeah.
I think because these are known for being slow.
Mm, yeah.
You know, like in turtles,
like, yes, noted speedsters, the turtles.
Like, it's legendary. There's some kind of parable or fable. I can't remember. I think the turtle gets the best end of it, so it's probably really fast and ninja-like. So
yep.
I'm misremembering it because I'm not part of culture. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster in My Podcast.
And this is The Poltergeist.
There's a monster in my podcast.
Grab onto your faces.
Like that movie.
Yeah.
Get Out. This is Poltergeist. It feels like we just did this because we had the Phantom, but this is different.
This is definitely different. Mostly because it can affect the world around it, and it isn't just some kind of strange hologram.
Yeah, it's not a trap.
It's not a macabre hologram.
It's weird, though, but it tells you, like, it goes through a lot of things because it throws things. It's a poltergeist, but instead of just making a big whirlwind of, you know, small objects and detritus, it takes a big heavy thing tosses at you, and then the thing says it doesn't hurt. Right. Like it says it's like the heaviest thing someone could throw.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Monster's Manual goes out of its way to say it does no damage, which I am very surprised by. It just scares you.
Yeah, I don't get that either. It's
why can't you give it a fear beam? Like it's functionally a fear beam, but it's someone hucking a desk at you.
Yeah, like it doesn't specifically say that it's creating an illusion of that. The illusions come later, and that's badass as well.
Yeah, for sure. Even though that's very similar to the Phantom.
Yeah.
Like the same thing happens. It just creates an illusion that makes it aspire to like a weaker monster.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit too much overlap here, but like, what's the heaviest thing you can throw, Cole?
I mean, how far?
Like a good huck, like across the room. Like if you wanted to hurt me or anyone, what is the heaviest thing you could throw?
I'm looking around my office and living room here. I could probably, if you held still, like throw my recliner at you.
Yeah, that'd be tricky. Like maybe across a room, though, that might be difficult. But maybe
I mean, if we're looking at like a 5 to 10 foot span, people standing in a room. Yeah,
I think a really good weight to distance to like damage ratio would be like a cinder block.
Yeah, a cinder block or a guitar. I think I could fling a bass like guitar at you.
Yeah, or a bass guitar. Like you curse Novoselic yourself. Like, hi, Axel. But it doesn't do any damage.
Yeah.
This guy throws a guitar at you and it's just like, I'm scared. Well, you're scared. You're going to get your teeth fucking knocked out.
Yeah.
Chris Novoselic's about. That's how the old children rhyme goes. Get your teeth knocked out. Chris Novoselic's about.
Wait a minute. Listen. Wait. Shh. Oh, weird. Wait a minute. Did you hear that? Oh, maybe it was a mosquito. No, no. Wait a minute. Oh no, the water.
No man is that tall. Yes.
Oh no.
What if we just do this foley of a Phantom Chris Novoselic attacking for another like 7 solid minutes? What was that?
Wait a minute, turn out the lights, that's less dangerous.
I don't have a gun. Well, good, but face. Run.
This is the dumbest thing.
It's pretty close, but I don't like it's got to be up there. I'd enter it into the dummies for the end of the year, but I don't know if it's gonna take the golden ass.
We can't cut on that because we have to describe the picture because it's not they say this thing is invisible. But for something that's invisible, they certainly decided to put a lot of effort into that expression.
Well, some people can see it, and it just looks like a very sad guy who got ripped off on some chains. Like somebody sold him some chains. He's just realizing now that he bought counterfeit chains.
He bought them off Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought these were metal, but they're just painted shiny.
Yeah. And they're just like, he's just like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. It's a very funny picture. Yeah. This is what they say is like what happens to your face when you're warped by terror.
Yep.
Like you just turn into, you know, like a Quasimodo dipshit.
Yeah. You look like you just watched somebody spill their pop. Like, no.
Oh, man. I would have taken a sip of that. I wanted to try it. It was a limited Jones soda flavor.
Here, let me throw these paper towel at it. Oh, no, it didn't soak anything.
And if I were a ghost, I feel like I'd get my teeth back. I wouldn't just still be missing a tooth. Like, that seems unfair.
Yeah.
You know? Like, poor guy. Now I'm back on his side.
Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.